you have your Bibles? You can open, just open Deuteronomy. The Bible is Deuteronomy. Chapter. Deuteronomy, right?
Deuteronomy.
I'm saying this, man. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 8 to 10. Now, the title this week, we can probably read it all together, the title. Amen. The formation of the great Joshua. A land of waters, of springs, of fountains, flowing forth in valleys and in mountains, a land of wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranate, and olive trees, oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity. You will not lack anything in it, a land where the stones are iron, and from whose mountains you can find copper. And you shall eat
and be satisfied,
and you shall bless Jehovah your God,
for a good land,
the land he has given you. Amen. Amen. So, the land here typifies Christ, the type of Christ, you know. And just go through all of this. Israel was in captivity in Egypt for 400 years, as you all know. And Egypt is the type of the evil world now, right, in the New Testament. But God sent Moses to bring the people out of Egypt. So God the Father sent Jesus to bring us out of this world, this evil world. That's the time, right? And this message is really very deep and profound because it covers many sides, many topics. Enjoyment, fight. This is a warfare we're going through. Right now we're going through warfare. And the Lord wants to be our good land completely so we can be ready to fight the good fight. And when Moses bring the people out of Egypt and bring them to a good land, but in the way they experience a lot of things, a lot of problems, right? And in order to reach the good land, they had to go through a lot, through this idol worshippers, pagan tribe, and this is what we go through now. See, God already gave them the land, the people of Israel. He already gave them, but they need to take it and possess it. As God gave us Christ, and we have the life, the divine nature. We have it. So we need to possess it in terms of that He needs saturated. He needs permeated. He needs to be absolute for us. We have to be absolute for Him. And this is what we need. And that's the good land. And this is very, but there is a problem here. There's a war here between God and Satan. Mm-hmm. So this is the problem here. We have the divine life. We have the good land, right? Now, as the people of Israel was going through they were going to Canaan, so they encountered many problems, many fights. They're fighting all the time. Actually, in my workplace, I have many Arabs. I teach many Arabs. Actually, they're from the tribe of Geminites, right? The Geminites. They call themselves now Geminis, but they're Geminites. And I talk to them about the history, and then they They still deny the Lord Christ, you know. But this is what we're going through. So we have to really, we have to go through this, you know, this journey in our life, where we really are going to encounter a lot of stones, a lot of fire, and the enemy is going to do anything he can to prevent from reaching the land, from enjoying the land. That's what he's trying to do. If we read and they, let's see. Just look at 2 Corinthians in day 2. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled in those who are perishing, in whom the God of this age. Now, if you see God here with lowercase, talking about Satan, in whom the God of this age, Satan, has blinded the thoughts of the unbelievers, that the illumination of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, might not shine on them. So this is to the unbelievers, right? We were once unbelievers, right? He's transferring from darkness to light. Now, this is what happened right now. He's doing everything he could in this world, using all kinds of things, distractions, right? To not to let these people to reach the land, to get the land. We already got the land. We already got the land. We got Christ already, right? And like you say, you are not a Christian yet, right? But the Lord dies for everybody. Not only for me, he died for everybody. So actually, you know, we can enjoy this Lord in our lives, right? We can. We not only have the land, but we need to let him saturate our life. The Christ. So now, and let me see, in the New Testament, God is forming Joshua. I was reading about Joshua, and you look at the book of Numbers, and God prepared an army, right? He formed an army to fight for God, to defeat the enemy, as in the book of Numbers, right? And the book of the contrast with the book of Leviticus, and the book of Leviticus is we join. We enjoy the food, we enjoy all the provisions from all the offerings. But in the Numbers, he prepared the army. He prepared the warriors. But in order to be a warrior, to defeat the enemy, we must mature. Because if we are not mature, we cannot fight. Right? So how can we mature? We gotta eat every day his word, his life. So this is the only way we can fight against the enemy. Now, we have to be not only... I could say individual Joshua was very strong. He was not afraid. He said, we're going to get in, take the land. But the others were afraid. They said, no way. We can't take the land. They're too big. He said, no, we're going to take it, but we do. Jehovah. We can't do it. Jehovah will do it for us. See? Yeshua. That's why Yeshua was the lead one going into Canaan, what is now Jerusalem. See, lead the people to the good land, to Christ. He was not afraid to take the land. And it says here, we must be now a corporate Yeshua. See, we must, the Lord is building his church. So this is not an individual thing. That's why when I said, I need you to pray for, we need to pray all the church, all the members, we need to pray together. Because right now the enemy is working full time. He's working full time. He's winning many areas. And, let me see, the good land. Now, I'm very, this week, I was looking at the news and some of the programs, and I saw this singer, famous singer, I forgot his name, that he made a big thing, concert and a crusade and all this stuff, and many corporations are actually supporting, like Apple and AT&T, about freedom, about the LGBTQ, right? Now, it really touched my heart, because Brother Benjamin Chen once shared about this. The enemy wants to annihilate, destroy human life. Now, there are many ways to do it. He's doing many ways. right? Pranahan, what we call in the world. Now, you see now in Asia, many countries like Japan, but I saw a documentary where they're closing many schools because there are no children for the schools, right? Why? Because now they're using robots. They're looking as a company of robots. That's happening in many countries in Asia. In Europe, I was talking to this lady was in Slovenian in Europe. She said, no, we don't have many kids. There's no kids in Slovenia, man. There's no many kids. Because they don't want to have kids because it's too expensive. So this is happening in Europe now. But what's happening all over the world? What's happening in America with this LGBT? To me, it's a demonic thing that the enemy is doing. Mm-hmm. Something demonic. Because this is going to be the way to exterminate human life. You know? This is going to be a way to... So Benjamin Chin talked about this once. You know, the enemy is having these traps to destroy human race. You know, and it's sad. Why? Because I see kids, young people, saying, oh, it's okay, because they put in this like everything is fine, it's normal. Everything is okay. It's not okay. God created men and women to be one and to procreate. And so this is really very, I feel very burdened about this because this is not okay. The enemy, the Satan is working full time with the demons and the spiritual and the fallen angels to try to make young people to fall into this trap. Now, yes, and what's crowded? A lot of people talk about, oh yes, this is free America. We must be free to do this. We must love what they're doing. They're pure and all of this. And I'm listening, and somebody from Apple is sharing, and somebody from AT&T, and they saying everything is okay. We should continue to support them. This is all demonic. Now, how can we fight this? How can we fight this? We must be a warrior. A warrior for God to defeat the evil forces, the satanic forces. We must pray. We must speak. We have to speak to others. We must. If we don't speak, we're not going to be able to fight for God. We have to speak to workers, classmates, to neighbors. We must share the gospel.
I have a counter.
Amen.
I think that because of this stance that the church has on queer people, drives queer youth away from the church and often hurts them at a point in their life when they're struggling. So we should try to welcome them.
Yes. God loves the people. God loves the people. Okay, I knew some people who fall into that, who were homosexual, and they came to Christ. You see, God loves the people. What love does in God is the same. Now, we cannot reject them. We have to show them love. I've met many homosexuals in my workplace. I deal with them. I teach them how to drive. And I show them love. I told them that Jesus loved them. You see, this is what I'm trying to say. Yes, we do not reject them because God loves everybody. Right? What He doesn't love is sin. Right? And all these things, this is sin, what they're doing. And the only way to fight against this is praying. The only way to fight is to tell them that Jesus loves them. Give them the Bible. I gave the Bible to some of them. I gave it. Then some of them started reading. There was this brother who was for many years. He was gay. And he came to the Lord. But he's not rejecting them. Because the Lord loved the people.
That's right.
It's the sin that we must fight as a warrior. As a corporate Joshua. As a corporate Joshua, we must fight this war. We must pray. If you know somebody, we must show them the love. Are you showing the love of Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's not rejecting them. We should not reject it. But what they do in this group of people, in this movement, is not saying that. What they're doing in this movement is this. It's okay to be gay. It's okay to be lesbian. That's okay. You want to be lesbian? Go ahead. Don't worry about it. It's not what God wants. It's not. So I'm sorry I'm being very clear with this. But we must pray for them. Yes. That's the only way you're going to break this bondage. The chain is by praying. If you know somebody like that, I always pray before I talk to them. You know? But what happened is, yes, there's a lot of hate. That's something else. But Christians who actually have the life of the Lord, don't hate. Amen. So we don't hate these people.
Right.
Actually, we I'm sad. I have love for them that they fall into this. It's a trap. It is a trap that we might. Brother Benjamin said, this is a trap that they want to do. That the enemy is behind all of this.
Yeah.
So, like I say, in many places, not only this, it's happening in many countries are not procreating kids because now they're using other company. The only company we should have is Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus should be our company,
mm-hmm.
our life. Now, trying God has given us the good land. Now, Jesus is the embodiment of the Father, right? He is here as our land, good land. So we must take it, possess it. We must, but in order to do this, first we must be saturated. We must have the Lord and the mercy. Because when Jesus was on the earth, he loved everybody. He didn't see anyone. He didn't see what they were doing, how sinners they were. No. They love everybody. They mingle with everybody. We actually were the worst. He mingled with the worst, but he loved them.
Yes.
But he prayed for them. Yeah. He prays for them to the Father to have mercy on us. Because they took the sin of the world. They don't know what we're doing. He said, have mercy because they don't know what we're doing. Yes, but he loved them. But sometimes we don't know what we're doing. And this is what we had to do. We had to take Jesus our land. We must not only possess it, but occupy it so he can saturate our life. We need to pray together as a corporate Yoshua, corporate warriors. We need to pray together because this movement are moving faster. Everywhere in Europe, they keep moving and moving. And if we don't pray, if we don't speak, if we don't share the gospel, how could they know? There are many young people that they don't know. They never heard the gospel, never hear about Jesus. If we tell them about Jesus, then they will see the love of the Lord. If you express and we are the testimony to others, they will see the love of the Lord. So this is what we have to do. We must be a corporate Joshua. Like the title said, we must corporate Joshua. Corporate Joshua to possess the good land and defeat the satanic forces. Because this is what this is doing. Let's read this. Look at this one in Ephesians 6:11-12. This is what it's doing. We have to put the whole armor of God. It says, let's read it together, Ephesians 6, 11 and 12. All together?
Put on the whole armor of God, that he might be able to stand against the stratagems of the devil. For our wrestling is not against blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world rulers of the darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavens.
Amen. Praise the Lord for what the Lord is doing.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We are open now to for you to share. I mean, we all go through the journey. You see, Israel had to go through a big journey from Egypt to Canaan. 40 years. Then come to fire, suffering, storm, war against tribe, idol worship, a pagan a tribe. They're always fighting and fighting. This fight, all this tribulation for us that we're going through is for maturing in life. To mature in life. When we go into tribulation, it's to grow and to see all the error mistakes that we went through. So when we mature in life, we'll be able to fight. If we don't mature in life, we cannot fight before. We cannot do it ourselves.
Yeah.
Only Christ can fight for us.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And the Lord open our eyes and see this, what's going on in the world right now, so we can preach the gospel and tell everybody that Jesus loved them.
Amen.
And praise the Lord. So it's open for his sharing.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
If you'd like to share something, that's because we would like to leave soon.
Amen.
To Camp Penuel. But I was very touched by what our brother shared with regards to the warfare, the nature of the warfare that we're dealing today.
Mm-hmm.
The most fundamental thing that the enemy wants to do is to frustrate our enjoyment of Christ,
yes,
of our knowing him and enjoying Christ as our good land. Mm-hmm. Because the good land is the ultimate, in the Old Testament, we know how the children of Israel, okay, was so blessed in enjoying the riches of the good land. Today, our good land is Christ. Everything in I'm reminded of the verse in Ephesians chapter 1, I believe verse 3, when he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with what? With every spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. I would like to repeat that phrase again. Okay? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. Every time that the Lord reminds me of this, I am lifted up to the highest heavens. Because we know that this is our real, factual standing in Christ. Is that we have everything, every spiritual blessing that you can conceive in your mind and beyond is in this Christ. And we are supposed to enjoy this. But the strategy of the enemy is to do everything to minimize or prevent us from enjoying this grace. And for the unbelievers, for example, those who struggle about their identity, this is just Satan's way of preventing them of knowing Christ, who is the good man. So our goal is therefore, in fighting the enemy, is to have a burden for the souls of the lost ones. So that they can also enjoy the Christ that we enjoy today.
Amen.
And for all of us in the church life, we need to endeavor day by day to labor and enjoy Christ as our good land.
Amen.
And it's not so difficult because we have the Word every day. He's always presenting Himself as the rich Word to us. And the ministry has been given us such a rich source of food that we can enjoy day by day in order to realize who this Christ is to us. Because that is the goal. When the Lord said in, I believe in Matthew 16, He says, I will build my church. Amen. But then what follows is a statement of warfare. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And the reason being that while we are building and while the Lord is building His church, Satan is doing something to try to bring in what? Gates of Hades simply means death. He always wants to bring in death to the church.
Amen.
So, in other words, he wants members of the body not to function, members of the body not to enjoy the Lord, or preoccupy him with things, issues, LGBTQ, or whatever preoccupies you. If you are in college, your education. I do not mean to say that we don't need to be educated. But our preoccupation is not our education. Our preoccupation is Christ. While you are studying, at that very moment, while you are studying in your exam, you can enjoy Christ in your spirit.
Amen.
He still can be your preoccupation while you're still a student. And I can testify this. Before I became a Christian, I was a good student. But after I became a Christian, I became a better student. And the reason was because I learned to enjoy the Lord through the ministry. My mind became more clear. My being has become more, it has a sense of purpose. No more scattered, tossing to and fro by winds of teachings and doctrines. But rather, I had a clear, sweet vision of Christ and the church.
Amen.
And so for the young people, I encourage you. Okay, and I keep telling this to my son, because I have a son here who I am praying day by day, that Lord, just open the eyes of my son to your beauty. That's all I ask, so that if he sees the beauty of the Lord, the magnificence of his person and his work, then he will learn to enjoy you day by day. He will learn to have you as the good land. And he will be able, by the growth of life, right brother, to become part of this corporate warrior to fight the enemy so that the gates of Hades will not prevail against the building church. So we definitely have a way to fight the enemy, and that is just enjoy the Lord as our good man.
Amen.
Amen. There's something I wish to speak regarding the matter of warfare. So on Friday night meeting, we do cover over a portion of this a portion of this message. And what really struck me and was concerning this matter is that, saints, do we realize that there is an enemy around us? Do we realize that the enemy is even in our soul? Do you realize the enemy is even in your body? Do you even realize that, yes, the brothers seek of all these things, the air, there is an enemy? When the saints, when the children of Israel were given the good land, it just wasn't that, okay, we received the good land, there's no more fighting. No, when they, every step that they took, there's that verse in there, every path that they trod, there was still fighting after they were given the good land. Every place they went, they needed to fight. Even now, in Israel, physically in Israel, the nation of Israel fights. Here's an interesting news. I don't know if many of you heard it. Basically, from the surrounding nations, around 150 rockets were fired at Israel. This is something that, you know, me being in Israel about a month ago, I would not consider. Because it seemed very fine when I was in Israel. It's like, okay, it's nice, you know, it's protected. No, life seems good here. A month later, 150 rockets come flying. And even the Iron Dome, what's protecting Israel, cannot withstand 150 rockets. This should be a reminder to us that, saints, that in our daily living, everything we go through is a battle. We cannot consider this battle as in the end time thing, where you think it's like the apocalyptic war. This is now the definition of a battle. I was really struck in one of my arguments with my parents. It's a simple question. Let's come and pursue together. Immediately my reaction was, no! Stop, why are you bothering me? And it comes up to the excuse, oh, because I took a nap and I'm cranky, because I am stressed out. Saints, do we realize that even that excuse is something of the enemy? Do we not realize that everything in the air, our surrounding, is a part of the spiritual warfare? There needs to be this realization. Lord Jesus, forgive me, Brother Sal. I don't mean to say this, but saints, realizing that even enjoying the Lord is not such a small thing. It is not a small thing to enjoy the Lord. It is even not a small thing to pray. To pray requires us to fight. It requires us to turn. I forget, I envy to hear such a word, because when I was younger, all I heard was, just turn, just enjoy the Lord. Just enjoy the Lord. And you think about it, yeah, enjoying the Lord should be really easy. But when you progress in life, no, it is not easy to enjoy the Lord. But saints, to enjoy the Lord is to enjoy the good land.
Amen.
To enjoy all His riches, to enjoy all of His vast breadth and depth.
Right.
But saints, there's a fighting that needs to be done. There needs to be a fight. If you want to enjoy this good land, you need to fight. So saints, this is just a reminder that in all our situations, even the smallest things, even the interactions between one another, there needs to be the turning. Turning to this one in our spirit, the one who's already victorious.
Yes. Yeah.
But it requires us to turn.
Amen.
It needs for us to exercise our will.
Amen.
So saints, remember, I gave this example regarding the, it's really good. I really suggest you, I don't want this to sound like a recruitment thing, but go to Israel. Go to Israel, because even to see the people of Israel, they go about dressed casually, sandals, shorts, button-down shirt, but they are always ready for war. Underneath, they wear armor. On their shoulders, on their sides, they always carry their weapon. They're always ready in case anything happens. So saints, do not for a second think that you can just relax. As soon as you relax, we live in America where it's all about relaxing. Live here is just like, it's relax, you know, it's like, it's the nation of the free. But saints, realize, I enjoy what Brother Sergio said, this is a tactic to stupefy us. We cannot be so reluctant to relax. Once we do, the enemy strikes. So saints, let us be encouraged to always turn to the Lord.
Amen.
Exercise our will.
Mm-hmm. Amen. I like this title that says, the formation of a corporate Joshua to possess the good land by defeating the satanic forces. So that we need to see Joshua, we need to see the good land, and we need to see that there's an enemy trying to stop us, trying to stop us from the good land. So one talks about the good land, Roman numeral one. It says the good land, the land of Canaan. Let's all, if you have it open, let's read this. It's a type of the all-inclusive Christ. The Christ who is all and in all and who is everything to us. Yeah, so this was the fight is to possess this Christ. So we have a, like was shared, there's a, it's not, we don't just cruise into enjoying Christ. We don't relax into enjoying Christ. Right, we have to exercise. So when we don't exercise in a natural way, so we don't just like take boxing lessons or karate, or that's not going to help us. We exercise by using our will to do our, to practice the church life. Right, to take care of our life practices, like calling on the Lord. Is it easy to call on the Lord in a regular, continual way? Is that easy? Is it easy to call on the Lord regularly, continually, constantly? No, it's easy to call one time, but is it easy to call now, an hour from now? An hour after that, an hour after that. So calling on the Lord is part of our fighting. We fight by Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. We fight by praying. Oh, by just praying is to fellowship, to breathe in the Lord. Lord Jesus. We just say Lord Jesus. In our saying Lord Jesus, where our heart is seeking, opening to the Lord. We're breathing in the Lord. Lord Jesus, I love you. To say, Lord Jesus, I love you, is that an easy thing to continue day after day after day? To say, Lord Jesus, Richard, is that easy? To say, Lord Jesus, I love you. How about in the evening before you go to bed? Can you say, Lord Jesus, I love you at the end of the day? Or are you occupied with something? Lord Jesus, I love you. Lord Jesus. So how about to read the Word? And to breathe in the Word, and to read the footnotes. This is our fighting. So our fighting, and this is the goal is, I liked when Joe came back from Israel, because he shared the experience of like being there with the Israelites. He came back and he said, they're willing to fight. What are they fighting for? They're fighting to keep their land and to possess their land, because they're constantly under a battle to... If they're not watchful and they're not fighting, they don't have a fighting being, then they'll lose the land.
That's right.
There are enemies that, like you just said, 150 rockets. If 150 rockets came and landed on New Jersey, what would happen? What would we do? We would probably be like, aha! Right? So, but they're ready to fight. So how do we fight? We fight by just being strong to continually choose our spirit. We fight to choose our spirit. We need to... This fight is an organic fight. It's a matter of life and death. We have to take in an organic... We have to be... This is an organic battle.
we want to continually be eating and drinking the Lord. Amen. This is our fight. And then this way we gain the land, we gain Christ more and more. And if we don't do this, then we lose the land. We lose our enjoyment of Christ. So our fight is in our practicing the church life, in our practicing our Christian life. Will we say, Lord Jesus? Will we drink? Will we take in the Lord? Will we breathe Him in? Will we take in His Word so it can become spirit and life to us? Our fight is an organic fight. It's a matter of it's a life matter. So it's a matter of our life practices in our day. Will we fight to possess the land? And will we do this together, practicing the church life? Will we fight during the day? Oh, Lord Jesus! Oh, Lord Jesus!
Amen.
Will we pray, read His Word? Right? This is a battle. Every day, our life practices and our church life are under attack. So then the attack is, oh, just relax. Just take it easy. Don't worry. Just cruise along in yourself. So the battle is, oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I love you, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Just going back that the title, this was a conference that was given for Memorial Day. The title is The Spiritual Warfare of the Church as the New Man. So we're now in message 5, right? Conference, number 5. And we're progressing now into the formation of a corporate Joshua to possess the good land by defeating the satanic forces. Mm-hmm. But we have to come back to, I'm reminded to bring forth, because we have a lot of young people here in our midst.
Right.
And we fight the battle, but there is a spiritual warfare from the moment that we're saved. You know, as soon as we're regenerated, we enter into this battlefield. However, I'm reminded here, the brother brought forth, that we're really here, you know, from Genesis 1:26, that God wants a man, you know, man to express Him and to represent Him on this earth. And that's really what the Lord wants. And for that, because man was damaged because of the fall, that man has to take his position to go back, you know, and be what God wanted him to be in the first place.
Okay.
So we're battling because God wants an expression, right? And He wants dominion. He wants us to have dominion over the earth. And the earth has been usurped by the enemy, right? And that is why we're fighting. You know, the spiritual warfare is not for me to be successful, to overcome this and that and the other thing. There are those aspects of it, but we're here to gain the land for Christ.
Yes.
And there, being formed into an army, there are certain qualifications. When I first came to, you know, to the Lord, when you first are regenerated, you can't fight anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we come from babyhood onto maturity. Mm-hmm. In the Bible, we are charged to come, you know, to enter into maturity. But that doesn't happen overnight. It takes many, many years. Okay, and if you're still a baby in the Lord, you know, we talk about these things about the spiritual warfare, this could be an awful, terrorizing thing. Okay, and we really need to be brought back to the perspective of where we are, and that we don't need to condemn ourselves for all these things, all these things that are happening in the world, all these different peoples and races and all of this stuff, is because they, first of all, in order to enter, you have to be regenerated. These people are not regenerated. They do not have the life of God. So they don't have a clue, right? Some of them are, right? But they're still babies. You know, we're still babies. And so their qualifications to be in the army is, number one, you have to have a pedigree, a genealogy. It means you have to be saved. You have to enter. You have to be regenerated. That's qualification number one. But number two is that we have to be 20 years of age. You can't just come into the Lord and tomorrow you start fighting. You know, no. You, when we're children, we just have to be who we are.
That's right.
We have to
enjoy the Lord.
Amen. Call upon His
Praise
name.
The Lord.
Just come to the meetings.
Yes.
Enjoy the Lord.
Amen.
You know, we can't be thinking that we need to be, you know, like this guy, like that one, like Brother John, you know, like, you know, we can't. We can't just walk around with the weapons like the children of Israel. You know, they wear a button-down shirt and sandals, but underneath they have the, they have that, you know, the armor. You know, we have to be who we are. You know, and number three, they had to be under their own standard according to their houses. They, if you were born in the tribe of Judah, you had to stay under the standard of the tribe of Judah. We didn't have any preferences, any choices. It's God's sovereignty that we're here in this locality. Mm-hmm. And this is where we need to stay until the Lord moves us. Yes. And number four, they were put into a proper order. Mm-hmm. In other words, they had the tabernacle, which is the church life today. Mm-hmm. And, you know, around, you know, in the center were the priests, you know, of the tabernacle. And you had the 12 tribes placed in order all around the tabernacle. And so we have to exercise our submission to the Lord's arrangement, right? Number five, you have to be fresh and young. And that doesn't, you know, even if you're 80 years old, you know, like Moses, he was the youngest of all, right? He was younger than the rest. He, because you are young in, you know, fresh in the Lord, freshness, not old in chronological age, or young in chronological age. So the formation of the army, you see that in the wilderness, first they had to have the Passover, that is to be regenerated. Then they had to get out of Egypt. Then they had to go into the good land. Then, you know, they got the manna, they received the manna, they didn't have to work for it. Right, but in, before they entered the good land, only the new generation is entered. All the old ones, boom, they all died in the wilderness. God could not; you couldn't march on and be old. You have to be fresh and new, and then you were ready as a good land. They were ready to take and possess the land. But when they went to possess the land, God didn't just say, here it is, okay, come here and enjoy, this is your house, you know. No, this land was full of enemies. And as soon as they entered the good land, the manna stopped. There was no more manna. They had to eat and drink of the produce and the rivers of the good land. But and there were a whole bunch of tribes that prevented them from doing that. So God didn't just hand that over. And in Exodus 23, verse 23, it tells us here that there were enemies there, and that they had to they had to get rid of them. You know, it says, "For my angel will go before you and bring you to the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites, the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off." So all of these ites, they were all enemies, and they represent the enemies that are inside of us, that keep us from enjoying the Lord. And so here, I just want to, the brother read this, okay, and I know it's a lot, but I just want to read this in closing. Is that here, the various pagan tribes, those ites that occupied the land, signify the different aspects of our natural life. Mm-hmm. The gods, the idols of the pagan tribes, with the demons behind them, represent the spiritual forces of evil. Mm-hmm. So behind our natural life are the forces of evil, who utilize, manipulate, and direct the aspects of our natural life to frustrate us from taking possession of the all-inclusive Christ and enjoying his riches. History shows that the pagan tribes in the land were the source of Israel's sin against God. This indicates that our natural life is the source of our sins. In the sight of God, those who live according to the natural life are sinning continually, whether they do good or evil. Because the natural life frustrates us from possessing Christ and enjoying him, we must hate it, and as we grow in Christ, be willing to drive it out. But it's really the Lord who drives it out.
Amen.
They had to put their feet on it first before God would drive them out. Mm-hmm. So we just have to cooperate with the Lord, no matter what our spiritual age is.
Amen.
You know, and so we need to just go on. And the spiritual warfare is dependent on our spiritual growth.
Amen.
We just have to grow in life. That's all. We just have to keep growing and maturing. Amen. And not worrying about any of these things.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. So,
I also like to fellowship on the like application in my testimony, because in this week I really like the corporate Joshua. Okay, so I like to fellowship especially on the professional life. I have been saved for 25 years. So all these years, I think the Lord teach me some important lessons in my career life. The number one is be diligent. The number two, guess what, is just say, I need to be, how to be in a team. Yeah, all the, I think the other than the Lord dealing my sin, myself, like whatever, but this two, especially, is like in the career life. Okay, so in this week, so I have a testimony which is, you know, to echo, like our brother says. And so nowadays, so why the young generation does not want to have kids? Because they, you know, other things, like they're being, you know, fooled by some things. There are some realities right now. Raising up kids with the jobs is not easy. So in other sense, you know, without turning to the Lord, it can be a very just complaining every day. So I can tell, if without turn to the Lord, I have excuse to be down or to complain every day. So just for example, like on Wednesday morning, my manager, you know, IMM me and call me, and he really does not call me. He's basically based in the South Jersey. He just say, hey Richard, you know, we got some emergency. The other team basically cannot make it timeline Monday. Can you help? So I say, sure. I will drop down all my, what am I doing? And I need help. But I tell him, the lunchtime I already scheduled. I go to pick my daughter. I say, lunchtime, I'm not here. But after I come back here, I'll do that right away. So, yeah, so all these things. So then when I drove to pick my daughter, she's about 40 minutes away in the west. So I keep telling me, you know, Lord, I just keep praying. Help me to be clear-minded. Because I know that task was not easy. So I know I don't have solution. I don't have solution. So, but when I drove there to pick my daughter, I tell me I need to be clear-minded. My number one priority at that time was driving safely to bring my daughter and her friend back. Then we came back, and I drove back to my company around 1:30. I like share small things, and also I pray, so Lord, should I eat first, or I just jump to my work? There's two decisions to make. So I pray, I feel peace is, I have to eat first. I eat, I had salad, simple salad, eat, and then I also, I just reply to them, I'm going to work on it, and I read, and I still read two verses, and following the Spirit, I went to a place to pray. So that's close to 2 p.m. So then I just do the very simple thing what I can do. Just be diligent. I tell them what are the two approaches I can see I can approach. I'll try both. So then I started to do the second approach, which I think I should do the first. Then for that guidance, I went to talk to my colleague. So I talked to him before about this issue, but I just went to him, talked to him about the other things, because it's a very complicated thing. So when I talked about the other person's help, that person is in Shanghai, China. So I talked to, I asked him, blah, 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 and talk. Then just suddenly, when during the talk, my colleague, you know, talk about something, and just we realized we found the solution, just in time short. So I just praise the Lord, these two principles help me a lot. Is number one, be diligent, and number two, just being a team. Because I know I could not do it myself, but with a team, just, you know, then by 3 p.m., I already solved it. I emailed to the team, and then we solved it. So just praise the Lord is, yes, so nowadays the job is not easy. You know, it's not easy, but we can still trust the Lord, and we can still apply the principle. Is a corporate Joshua, we can defeat the enemies who can help us in a good land. Amen.
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 We still have time.
Yeah, I want to follow Brother Beecher in sharing that, you know, even though it is hard and difficult, as we see, you know, from the reading, but actually, you know, we have this Joshua, who is Christ in us today.
Amen.
And then we need to follow this Joshua. And we need to learn to be built up together as the corporate Joshua, and we can defeat the enemy.
Amen.
You know, I was reminded of the example many have mentioned about the children of Israel when they first entered into the land. They realized that there are a lot of pagan tribes, right? But Joshua, Caleb, they saw the same situation as many others, but they had a different spirit, right? To the other people, it is impossible. We can never make in the good land. They are so big. They are so strong. What are we? I'm working 8 hours, 90 hours a week. I'm slaving under Pharaoh. You know, what can I do against the corporate powers? I don't know, the governors. But today, you know, we see that Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit. To them, the pagan tribes, you know, actually in Exodus, they used to, well, they are food to us.
That's right.
We eat them for breakfast. That's a different spirit.
Yeah.
And of course, this is not just that we will be, we'll behave lightly, we will, you know, joke around about jobs and things like that, but really we realize that there's a spiritual warfare, and realize that Joshua is within us, and we live by this life, and by praying, by turning to our spirit, these will just become an opportunity for us to enjoy the Lord more. All this situation in our lives. So, again, in Exodus 23, I was very touched. You know, these pagan tribes, they are there, but we shouldn't be afraid. Our faith is in the Lord and in the corporate Joshua. And God, and in God's word, specifically His word is that He said, I think Virginia mentioned this, I will drive them out. I will drive out all the pagan tribes for you. But in a specific way, He said, I will drive them out little by little. Saints, to deal with our natural life, to grow in life, it's a long process. From our being regenerated, literally, we were kids. And then we, by the Lord's grace and mercy, we were regenerated. And as we learn to take in God's word as the milk, we grow little by little. And as we, I don't know, maybe as we're brought into adulthood, as we start to work and have a job and get married and have kids, we start to really enter into the experiences of the good land, to labor and to produce something for ourselves and for the body. This is a long process. But in the process, we grow in life. This growth in life is, it equates the driving out of the pagan tribe little by little. Praise the Lord, we can grow.
Amen.
And
Amen.
We can drive out the tribes by God, little by little.
Amen.
God's principle is not He will drive up all the pagan tribes all at once. Because if we do, if He does that, we will be left, I think that Brother Lee mentioned, we'll be left empty, we'll be vacant. In fact, that's even more dangerous. The demon can come in and occupy us with other things. But really, God's way, is that day by day, as many have shared, we will learn to be in this corporate Joshua by prayer.
Amen.
Little by little, all the pagan tribes will be driven out.
Amen.
And this is our faith today.
Amen.
By being in our spirit.
Amen.
Enjoying Him moment by moment.
Amen.
In the small things, especially, and in the big things.
Amen.
So that He can have a way to enable us to fully possess His good.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. May the Lord have mercy on us.
Amen.
We will grow in Him little by little.
Amen.
So we can fully possess His good. I support the Joshua.
Amen.
I really enjoyed all the sharing today. I think one thing that's really important to realize from the message this week is the reason that, you know, we are in this spiritual warfare, and the situation that we're in is because of the way God chooses to accomplish His purpose. God's method is always through the principle of incarnation, right? I mean, if you think about it, if we have a God who is all-powerful, why can't he just, you know, fix everything and, like, we don't have to struggle or do things? But he's always, from the beginning, chosen to limit himself to work through man, right? Because if there's no one on the earth cooperating with God, right, he's not able to actually accomplish his purpose. His purpose is not just to make the world a better place. His purpose is not just to, you know, like, drive the enemy out and, you know, himself, right, with his own power. Because he can do that, right? He's able and capable of doing that. But his purpose is always through incarnation, right? Through fallen, imperfect humanity, right? He's chosen to work through man in order to do all of these things. And that means, and he's well aware, I think, that we're not able to do that, like, where we are, right? His method is his process, right? Some of the hymns we sang today talk about this process that he's chosen to go through in order to make it even possible for this purpose to be accomplished. And we will frustrate him, right? We will be imperfect. We will fall short of where he needs to go, right? But if we go through this process, right, he will eventually accomplish that purpose, right? What he needs from us is a little bit of space, right, for cooperation, and then a little bit more space, because he's been able to work in us a little bit more. Each time we say, this time I want to cooperate with you, this time I want to be a little more useful for what you want from me, right? I want to be built with the saints a little bit more. I want to have more space in my heart for you, right? And it takes so long, because it's life, right? The children of Israel, I mean, Brother Richard talked about, I've been working for, you know, 25 years. I haven't been working nearly that long, but it already feels like forever. But the children of Israel, they spent like 400 years in Egypt, right? Like laboring and working, right? In the world, right? And then finally, they were able to come out of the world, right? That's their salvation. They were brought out, right? You can see something else other than the labor, right? And it took them still 40 years of wandering in the wilderness under God's leading and guidance, under the supply of the manna, of the sacrifices of the tabernacle, all of these things that are part of the spiritual living and experience, before they were even ready to now you can attempt to take the good land, right? Now you have to, you know, drive out the tribes. Now you have to take this land inch by inch, right? The riches are there. The supply is there. But they have to work so hard in order to do it, right? But at each step, the supply was there, right? The manna did not stop until they entered the land, right? You've graduated. You need to now partake of the riches of the land, which requires labor, right? If you're a baby, then of course all you can really, you know, digest is, you know, milk or formula or all of those things, right? But if, you know, you're like 10 and you're still only partaking of milk, then there's something wrong, right? You're not, you know, you're not progressing in your life. And that's, you know, all of this arrangement is set so that at each stage, what the Lord is can meet our need, right? Yeah. And we are able to take in what the Lord is presenting to us, right? So, you know, the spiritual warfare is, you know, it's a very serious matter. It's all these things. But we don't need to look, you know, 40 years ahead and say, why am I not there now? Right? It's going to take time to get there. It's going to take time. But the step to get there is, I would say, it's almost always the same. It's, Lord, I want to cooperate with you today. Amen. Lord, you know, whatever you need to work on in me, I want to allow you to work on that in me. Amen. And that's the same whether now, in 10 years, in 20 years, it's really just, Lord, more of you, less of me.
Amen.
And that's the kind of life and living that we need in order to reach this level of being, you know, of this principle of incarnation, of being people who are wholly saturated with the Lord and are able to be the Lord here, right, on the earth, where there's so many opposing forces, so many other things. But in this place, right, in the church, you know, the Lord is able to accomplish his purpose here, in this one location, in the way that Israel for him on the earth at that time was the place where he chose to put his name, right? Amen. Because they were the people who are cooperating with him.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
John brought up something, the sharing from Joshua and Caleb. And I just like to share this real quick. It's in Numbers chapter 13, verses 33. And this is regarding the 12 men reporting, returning from looking at the good land and the report of the good land. So there were spies that were sent out to evaluate the good land. And they came back with a report, and they said this. It said, "The land through which we have gone to spy it out is a land that eats up its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great size. And there we saw the Nephilim, the descendants of Anak, are part of the Nephilim, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." And so they saw that there are occupants there in the good land already, and these were great men. They were like mighty, you know, very fearsome. And they were Nephilim. And they, when the spies went out, they were like, "Oh, we're like grasshoppers. There's no way we can possess the land." So Joshua and Caleb had another spirit. And they said this. They spied out the land, and they spoke to the whole assembly of the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we pass to spy out is an exceedingly good land.
Yay.
If Jehovah is pleased with us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against Jehovah, nor should you fear the people of the land, for they are our bread." Mm-hmm. So this is where we get the phrase where the Nephilim, these people, are we can eat them for breakfast. They are our bread. This is what they said. "The people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has been removed from them, and Jehovah is with us. Do not fear them." God's goal in the whole universe, from eternity past to eternity future, is for us to be one with God.
Amen.
We were created in His own image, with His likeness.
Amen.
So we actually are a picture. Who we are right now, we're the image of God. So we were meant to contain Him. Though we are very complicated in our being, we're complicated people. I know this firsthand because I know I'm very complicated and I have a lot of things in me. And Phoebe knows this, you know, very up close. Though we're complicated people, we were created simply to contain God.
Amen.
And we see in the picture of the Old Testament, it's so clear. The children of Israel, they were just locked. I really appreciate Liz bringing this out. They were, you know, at least 400 years in Egypt. They were laboring. It's hard labor. It was very hard labor. This is really the situation today. You look at the industry. You look at the competition. I think the younger ones, you probably have a better sense than we do. I think it's more competitive now than ever before. And even for us young adults, it's harder to secure a job, to have security in our job. And for the older ones, that's the case. You might be losing the jobs to ones who are younger, who have more skills. Well, this is the hard labor of Egypt. He demands everything from us, and he gives nothing back. He demands our life. He demands our energy. He burns our feelings out of us. Our feelings for one another. Our compassion for one another. That is what the enemy does. And this is so clear in Egypt that he actually burns. It's a burning kind of flame that actually Amen. Burns the people to cause them to be without feeling. Well, praise the Lord. there was a Savior in that time. Right? Moses was raised up. He's a type of Christ. We know there was the Passover. The children of Egypt fed on the Passover. Of course, there was the blood that delivered them out of Egypt, out of the enslavery, the tyranny of Pharaoh. The tyranny of Pharaoh. So they ate the Passover. They had the strength to leave Egypt. So though we are in the world, we are not of the world. And though we may have the elements of the world, he led us out of Egypt into the wilderness to feed on manna. To feed on manna. To change our diet. To reconstitute us with Christ. This is his goal. That man and God would be one. So he reconstitutes us with heavenly food to make us heavenly people. This was in the man, this was in the wilderness. But the wilderness was still the wilderness. The children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness, went in circles and circles. There was the smitten rock, yes. This is Christ being smitten on our behalf so that we who are thirsty can drink of him as the living supply, as living water. And then there was the fight against Amalek, which was the fight against our flesh. And certainly, gloriously, there was the tabernacle, right? The tabernacle, which enables us to enter into God. But the tabernacle was still temporary. This is the point. The point is, Christ is our Passover. Christ is our manna. Christ is our smitten rock, the one who flows out water to us to quench our thirst. Christ is the tabernacle in which we can enter into God. Our worship of God cannot be in Egypt. Actually, this was Satan's ruse. He said, why don't you just worship God here in Egypt? Why do you have to leave Egypt? Just worship God here and labor for me here, but you can worship God on the side. No, the temple can't be built up in Egypt. The temple is in the good land. And even the tabernacle, which was in the wilderness, is a temporary. It was temporal. It wasn't a permanent site. God wants us to lead us all the way into the good land. Amen. It is the good land flowing with milk and honey. It's the good land that has the rich produce of the good, of all the rich produce that we see. I just want to give you. We sang this morning at the table. All the riches of the good land. We see that there was the mountainous regions typifying Christ in his ascendancy. There was the water brooks. There was the rivers. There was the streams that were flowing in the mountains and valleys. Saints, if we don't have valleys, there's no flow. We should thank the Lord for our really bad circumstances and for everything we have to pass through. When we're at our lowest, we should be well assured in our spirit there are water brooks flowing. There are rivers flowing. Because without the valleys, there can't be the flow from the mountains. It's actually in our human situations, with the mountains and the valleys, that the water brooks, the streams, and the rivers can flow. That's the good land. We're experiencing Christ as the good land in our daily life. And then there's the rich produce. There's the wheat, typifying Christ as the incarnated and crucified one. He was limited. Could you imagine? The infinite God confined himself because he wants to be one with man. He confined himself to be limited in flesh. That's a huge confinement and a limitation. The infinite God became a finite man in time and in space so that he could join human race and to be one with us. And he even died on our behalf. An excruciating death, a shameful death, even for man, shameful. To be crucified in that time was shameful. But he died this death for me, he died it for you, he died it for all mankind. This is him as the wheat. And then he was the barley, the resurrected one. Nothing could overpower him. Death could not conquer him. Hades could not hold him down. He had the keys of death and of Hades when he exited Hades. That means he had authority over death. This is Christ as our barley. And he is the figs, which is the sweetness, the satisfaction of Christ. He is sweet whenever we call on his name because we need him so much. Lord Jesus, you are the figs, you are the sweetness and my satisfaction. He is the vines. He is the vine as a sacrifice in life. He poured out. He went to the cross to pour out himself as life to us, as wine to us, to cheer God and to cheer man. Whenever we're in our lowest state, whenever we feel down, we could be well assured there was someone in the universe who was wine to us to cheer us up. He was the vine as the self-sacrificing one to be the wine to us, to cheer us and to cheer God. He was also the olive tree, the anointed one, to renew us, to anoint us, to honor God and to honor man. He was he's the pomegranates. I really like pomegranates. Pomegranates typify the abundance, the beauty, the fullness of the divine life. His life is, he is in us as pomegranates, whatever we go through. But also, and we should know this in the good land, he's also the minerals. He's the iron, and he's also the copper, and he's the stones. This typifies this shows us actually to mine this out in the good land. We need to really possess Christ in such a solid way that he could be stone. We could be made stone people, not fickle in our emotions, not, you know, up and down, but gradually, each day by day, as we touch Christ and experience him in the good land, he's making us iron people, stone people, solid, solidly constituted with him. Not up and down and wavering in our emotions, but we know in our spirit we have Christ and he's constituting us as iron, stone, and copper so that we can fight the warfare. We can fight the spiritual warfare to cause others to also enter into the same experience, into the same Christ as our good land. Because it's only in the good land, and this is really, sorry, the point. It's in the good land, not anywhere else. Everything the brothers brought out, Joe brought out, the fight is over the land.
Right.
If there's not a good defense, you lose the land, you lose everything.
Right.
We look in history, it's magnificent. 1948, no one would have thought. No historian. I took a college class, you know, well-educated, and he was like past his years, and he's an old person, and even he's like, I can't explain this. But Israel got the land. Somehow they got the land again. They recovered their land. The land was theirs again in 1948. That was just an impossibility. But obviously, I mean, as the host, we're aware the Lord is working behind the scenes. But the fight is over the land, the good land, the land of Canaan. And in type, this in the New Testament, we have the reality. This is Christ as our good land. And the fight is here. Because it's in the good land that there could be the temple. Who cares for what God is caring for? The evil spies in the footnote, it says this. I will read this footnote. As indicated by the evil report of the 10 spies and the murmuring of the people against Moses and Aaron, the children of Israel did not care for God, but cared only for themselves. We can't merely care for ourselves. Our experience of the good land is for the temple and is for his kingdom. Everything prior, the Passover, that's for ourselves. If we have a sense, if I enjoy the Passover, I'm out of Egypt, that's good enough for me. I can enjoy him as the manna and as the smitten rock, and I'm enjoying him as the heavenly food and as the smitten rock. That is still for us. We need to possess the good land to be overflowing with the unmeasurably, unsearchably rich Christ for the temple. The temple needs to be built up. What is that in the New Testament? That's the church. That's the body of Christ. So that his kingdom can come. What is that? That was the city in the Old Testament. Today, that's the kingdom. So that the kingdom can come. And the Lord can come back. The Lord could come back. It's in the good land, in our experience, in our enjoyment of Christ as the good land, that there can be the building of his temple. So that we could be solidly constituted with Christ as the riches of the good land, be built up with Christ, be built up with all of his riches, so that Christ can be our content, our element, our essence, so that in reality, we are the temple. We are the expression of Christ, the corporate expression of Christ, which is the church, as the expression of Christ, which in the Old Testament was the temple and the city. But today, when we're filled with Christ, we have his expression, and we have his representation, This is why we were created. We were created to express Him, which means that we need to be filled with Him, constituted with Him as a villain, so that we could properly represent Him with His dominion against the enemy, because there is an enemy that is absolutely against us, who seeks to steal, destroy, and to kill. So our fight is here. We should be... Our prayer for one another is really our entering in to be part of this corporate Joshua. To have the faith to enter into the good land, to possess the good land, to labor on the good land, so we can enjoy the good land. And as we enjoy the good land, such a lovely Christ, our beloved, our bridegroom, sanctifies us, reconstitutes us, saturates us, permeates us, renews us, waters us, rejuvenates us, revives us, makes us happy, makes us joyful in the good land. We rejoice with one another, and we build up His temple with His city, which is His corporate expression with His representation. Maybe we could pray for this. Fight for one another's portion in the good land. We all have an allotment in this grand, rich inheritance.
Amen.
I don't care if you're young, you're old. No, we all have a portion in this good land.
Amen.
Let's fight for one another's portion.
Amen.
So we can build up His temple.
Amen.
Jesus.
Maybe
this week.
Amen.
We pray for each other.
Amen.
Because that's you.
Amen.
King you.
Amen.
Grace you and love you, Lord.
Amen. Lord, thank you, Lord. You have given yourself to us.
Amen.
As
the Zulu. Amen.
Strengthen us.
Amen.
Day by day.
Amen.
Claim our portion.
Amen.
And you belong to us.
Amen.
Amen. Make the choice.
Amen.
Cooperate with you.
Amen.
To enter in.
Amen.
Corporate Joshua.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, thank you for this corporate Joshua.
Amen.
So we can have faith in you.
Amen.
Oh, to enter the good land.
Amen.
Oh, to labor in the good land.
Amen.
Oh, to fight in the good land.
Amen.
Oh, for the church.
Amen.
To enjoy the good land.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, help us overcome our restrictions.
Amen.
Let us overcome the restrictions of the world.
Amen.
Oh Lord, enable us to do more than what we can see.
Amen.
Let us rely on our faith.
Amen.
Let us rely on you, Christ.
Amen.
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 It's all in all.
Amen.
You're everything to us.
Amen.
You continue to bring us on.
Amen.
Enjoy you and partake of you.
Amen.
That's the good land.
Amen.
Yes, you're all even to do it in one accord.
Amen.
And how can you gain us as the corporate Joshua?
Amen.
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 Thank you, you're the one prepared for us.
Amen.
But we're all sinners.
Amen.
We're all the same.
Amen.
But you're our Redeemer and our Savior.
Amen.
And you're leading us to enjoy you as the good land.
Amen.
We pray you would enlarge the border of our hearts.
Amen.
Oh, you could fill us with all the riches.
Amen.
Lord, thank you we can be where we are.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Cause us to take you in.
Amen.
Oh, to breathe you in.
Amen.
To enjoy you in our daily living.
Amen.
So you could reconstitute us.
Amen.
Oh, you can make us so living.
Amen.
Oh, so happy in you.
Amen.
Oh, enjoying you for the sake of your church.
Amen.
For the sake of your testimony.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Am